Hello and welcome to Leaderonomics FM. I'm Laura, and in this episode of HR Essentials, our topic is mindfulness in the workplace. And with us in the studio today, we have Dr. Shekhar. He is the Director of Digital Strategy at Kenanga Investment Bank Berhad. And he has over 30 years of experience in managing business operations, personnel, and information technology. He has assisted in establishing stockbroking and IT companies throughout the region. And he was also part of the team that developed the National Artificial Intelligence Framework for the Malaysian government. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you and good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Yeah, so let's start off. Mindfulness in a workplace, right? What made you explore mindfulness in a deeper personal way?
Right. So I've been working for many years. And in 2009, mm-hmm. I decided to take a break and explore meditation, which is also mindfulness.
Yeah.
And during my first exploration, I joined another meditation group. Mm-hmm. And within a month, I started my own meditation center. And throughout the whole time that I was setting this up, I have seen people from different age group, different racial divide, and different kind of work occupation people, and they started to practice the mindfulness, and they saw a tremendous change in their life, and changing their life a much more positive perspective, and they felt better with life.
Right.
And I did this for 30 months.
Wow.
And only after 30 months, I went back to working.
Right. So what is mindfulness?
Well, mindfulness is actually the art of focusing of the mind. When the mind is at a focused state, it is called the meditative state.
Mm.
So many people call it meditation, but it actually is mindfulness. It means you become aware of what's happening in your mind at any point of time.
Wow.
Rather than only doing it at an extracurricular activity.
Yeah, the art of focusing the mind, that's tough. You know, for me, one of my favorite authors says, it's a battlefield of the mind, because, you know, so many things we're thinking about so many things, we're thinking about 101 things, not just what we're doing now, but what we did yesterday, what we're doing tomorrow, and how do we focus our mind in this state?
Well, we teach you how to focus on your mind by focusing on your breath first.
Okay.
We don't teach you how to focus on the mind, but we ask you to watch the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is like a hyperactive child.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to manage a hyperactive child, what you do is you just watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the child for a long period of time, then you understand its behavior patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what mindfulness is all about.
Mm.
So you focus, watch your mind, understand your behavioral pattern or the reactive pattern of your mind. And then you will know in different situation, your mind reacts differently and responds differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are understanding your mind better.
So it's being a more aware.
Exactly.
Right.
Does
it take very long to do it?
It's not about how long you do it, it's about how frequent you do it.
Right.
So you can do a practice for 2 minutes a day.
Wow.
Or 2 minutes at every time. You clear your mind, you manage your mind in a much more frequent manner in a day. It's like erasing a overly written blackboard.
Right. So undoing certain practices that you may have as well.
Yes.
And so mindfulness in a workplace, how does that come into play?
Well, mindfulness in workplaces, let's talk about the workplace first.
Mm.
Workplace environment is all about people giving instruction and people delivering to those instructions, simply put. So the whole idea is these instructions get contaminated with thoughts of different personnel or different individual based on what their state of mind is. And most of the time, they get it wrong and they deliver it wrong.
Mm.
And that creates friction. Your boss don't like what you've done and scolds you for it. Or your team member thinks that you're not a team player and everything. But when you practice mindfulness, your ability to listen increases rather than you just hear.
Right.
So when you listen, you will absorb what is being told in a much more better manner. And most probably 90 to 100% of what is being said to you is absorbed in totality.
Mm.
When you go back to deliver what you are expected to deliver, you will match it again 90 to 100% of what is expected. This reduces the number of reiteration going back and forth and back and forth. Automatically, this has increased productivity.
Wow.
You get it right the first time or second time.
And that's so important in this season where employee engagement, employee wellness are the top words that it's being used, because organizations really want to invest into the health or mental health even of their organization. And what are the other benefits of mindfulness?
Well, once people are very clear on what they're expected to do in office and they get it right the first time, they actually will become more motivated to do.
Wow, okay.
Because they're on the right track of delivering. They enjoy their work better. Mm. And this, actually, the morale of the team actually increases.
Mm.
And good thing is they're motivated to work.
Mm.
When they're motivated to work, they have the inclination to actually go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be at work.
Yeah.
They find it enjoying.
Yeah.
So once they find it enjoying, they're not going to stay away from work.
Yeah.
So if you look at the total payroll cost of sickness absenteeism in 2018, mm-hmm. this is Malaysia alone,
okay.
it's about 16.4 billion ringgit.
Wow.
That's a lot. And if you look at that, total cost attributed to mental health issue is a staggering 9.84 billion.
Mm.
That means more than half of it is because of stress and work-related mental issues.
Mm.
Right. So when people are not in the office, you actually can have an 100 employee, but if most of them are sick and out, so you now have to make sure that you have no work time during annual leave, public holidays, and high level of absenteeism.
Yeah.
So if you remove all these days, the actual productive presence in office is already reduced drastically.
Yeah.
Now, that itself, presence in office doesn't mean they are productive 100% as well. And further with this mindfulness issue, that is also going to be impacted as well. So employee wellness is very, very important, and there's also, the national cost of staff turnover attributed to mental issues is about 1.34 billion.
Wow, that's, and, you know, when you put that into perspective, then it does cost organizations money. I mean, it's not just someone taking leave, but someone is not working for the day, so someone else needs to pick it up, or you know, deadlines get pushed back, and it seems like mindfulness is the way to go, you know, it being that it's simple, it's, you can do it any time of the day. And, you know, for someone like me, I go through meetings after meetings after meetings, and sometimes when I go through the third meeting, I'm already
exhausted,
or I'm not focused. I'm still thinking about what happened in the previous meeting. What do you think are some ways that I can, you know, do to deal with that?
So one of the, of course, I'm going to tell you, practice mindfulness.
Okay.
But what's the value that you get from practicing mindfulness? The next thing that you need to do is take a note-taking device, either paper and pen or your laptop.
You just get it out of your mind.
So once you finish a meeting, take about 5 minutes to recap and download everything outside of your mind.
Right.
Put it on paper and look at the image of it. Mm. So you know you don't have to keep it in your mind because you have stored it.
Yeah.
Why do I ask you to look at the image? Because when you process, you know what you need to do very clearly, because the mind processes image better.
Yeah.
If you keep it in your mind, you will go on a roller coaster ride. You don't know what is it doing now. So when you go to the next meeting, you still have residuals of your previous meeting and you can't listen properly again.
Yeah.
You will hear noises again. So after every meeting, download, download, and download. You see, your mind will not be tired, and you will have a very good input or very good value or productive meetings that you can have. You can even have 10 meetings a day. Not that I'm encouraging it.
That's simple enough to do.
Yes.
So it sounds like it helps people to change and be more positive and calm and focused. But what are some challenges then?
Well, I think many people believe that mindfulness is a challenge to their spiritual well-being or against their religious beliefs.
Yeah, that's a good
one. So that's the biggest challenge. So especially in our country where it's multiracial, multi-faith and everything, so it's very difficult for us to introduce something that could be challenging, because the practitioners of different faith have a different opinion about it.
Mm.
But leadership can motivate to talk about it from a perspective of productivity. Personal productivity, that means not only for company, helping them. It is like medication through mindfulness without actual medicine.
Right.
So that's
free.
Yeah. And so it's mind medication rather than doctrine into the mind. And if you look at the national level, right, though we have a large budget for health care and everything in the country, only less than 1% is allocated for mental health issues. So the ratio of one psychiatrist or one clinical psychologist is to every 100,000 Malaysians.
Wow.
So that's why I think in the last few years, student counselors had to step up to become, to play that role more often in universities and schools and everything, because it's a need.
Interestingly, you spoke about that because we are also coming up from our own MCO, our RMCO, and there's so much change happening right now in our world with the pandemic. You know, some people are afraid to lose their jobs. There's financial worry. And, you know, what do you think, you know, can mindfulness help with that?
Yes. So one of the value of mindfulness, it increases productivity as well. And when we talk about productivity, many people think this is a value that's going to benefit the company alone. No. On a personal level, what people do is they actually have an emotional awareness. They have they are able to do self-regulation. They are better at brainstorming. They are better at critical thinking. And they enables them to sleep better.
Okay.
And it reduces stress and, most importantly, anxiety. So collectively, it's mindfulness is a personal development kind of factor that you feel good doing what you're doing well. And you get better at it.
And everyone should feel that way.
Yes. Yeah. That's the only way to feel.
Yeah.
Because your mind is creating unnecessary perception.
Yeah.
And that contaminated mind is killing only you and nobody else.
Yeah, and so true. And especially now, and I mean, we're not working from home anymore, but when I was working from home, it was so tough. You know, there's family, there's work, there's so many things come into play, and you don't get to sort of unplug from work in that sense, right? So I think mindfulness would have been so beneficial during these times.
Yes. So the reason why people can't unplug from work at home is because they feel they're still working. That means the reason why they do that is because they wear home clothes for work at home.
Guilty as charged, yes.
So they are doing work at home with home clothes. They've brought work into home environment.
Yeah.
What they need to understand is physically they're in the same place, but their mind should always feel that they're going to work. So wear office clothes and sit inside your in front of your laptop or your virtual calls or conference calls or do your office work with that. So at 5:30 p.m., change back to your home clothes so your mind physically realizes that it's detaching from work. It can calm itself down.
Cool.
But when there's no line drawn.
Yeah, yeah. Boundaryless, right?
Yes,
we talk
boundaryless.
About that as well.
So
yeah.
You continuously, your mind is continuously at work even though you're at home. That's bad.
So I think with that, we're going to take a short break. So stay tuned as we continue with our topic today.
Kevin is at an interview for a job. He's a fresh grad and hopes to gain his first working experience. The interviewer asks him,
I see that you're very much academically inclined.
Oh, thank you. I try my best.
Yes, but there doesn't seem to be much working experience on your resume.
Yeah, I just graduated, so this will be my first job.
Great. We'll call you.
Thank you so much.
I'm pretty sure you know how this ends. HR interviewers are not only looking at what's on paper. They're looking to understand you, your strengths, as well as areas of improvement and how you could be a fit for the job you applied for, as well as the organization's culture. Past working experience can help paint this picture. Sure, most fresh grads don't have much working experience, so how can they convince an employer to take a chance on them? here's what Kevin could have said.
Yes, but there doesn't seem to be much working experience on your resume.
Yes, but I'm a fast learner, I'm eager to learn, and I'm very hardworking.
An answer like that would have been better, as it shows what you're willing to bring to the table. But to do so, Kevin has to be aware of what he's actually good at and what he's willing to improve. An easy way for someone in Kevin's shoes to go about identifying his strengths and weaknesses is to take a virtual assessment. If you find yourself in this position, a great resource you could use is the Virtual Assessment Center at Leadernomics.com. It would help give you a head start on taking control of your future interview process and to know a little bit more about yourself. Own your future. Link is in the episode's description.
Welcome back to HR Essentials. Today we have Dr. Shekhar, and just before the break, we've been discussing about mindfulness, what it is, and the benefits of it, especially in the workplace in this time of change. You know, I just want to go right into it. There's this myth that I've heard about mindfulness and productivity. You know, whether does it lead to getting more done, or do people even tend to work less? What do you think?
Well, you actually get more done. And they physically have to work less, but they actually get more done. The reason is because, as I mentioned earlier, when they are given an instruction of what they are expected to deliver, they're able to listen in totality, and they will be able to deliver that in a better way and quicker manner. Because when they go back to actually work on that delivery, they're very focused. They know exactly what is expected. And most probably, they'll get it right within the first iteration or second iteration or first presentation or second presentation. That actually increases the level of productivity. Now, when you have an employee who's able to do that, he will definitely be very motivated because he's done it very well. So that motivation drives him to do more. So you will not only have a productivity on a single delivery, but you have the person actually motivating themselves because they feel good, they feel appreciated, they feel valuable, and they actually will do more. But compared to them and another person who's not mindful, the person who's not mindful about their work, who's always going to get it wrong, will be overworked but less productive compared to this person who will actually work the same amount of time but will never feel they're actually working so much but will be able to produce more.
Yeah, that's very true. And I know you shared some of your experiences as well. Talk me through that.
Well, one of the things, challenges about 4 years ago when I was asked to set up the first virtual stockbroking in the country, and it's still the one and only one in the country. So we were given a very tight deadline. So I had about 100 member team across three locations, Malaysia and two in India. And we had eight nationalities working on that. So from drawing board to actual business launch was about 11 months. Now within that 11 months, we did not miss a single date in our testing deadlines. And we successfully launched it. And most of the team members did not work overtime beyond 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. And they did not work on weekends as well unless it's a regulated testing that we need to do. What we did differently, we practiced mindfulness.
How?
Every Friday, we did a simple breathing exercise to bring their focus to their breathing. And that's teaching the art of focusing the mind. That means when the mind is focused on the breathing, it's going to get rid of all the noise in the mind. It helps them to detach from work on Friday evening. When they go home on Friday evening and they spend their time at home, they actually have a realization on Monday, they had time with their family, they enjoyed their time. Monday morning, they're motivated to go back to work because they have done their family obligation, all that responsibility is done, they are relaxed, they come back. Their productivity is better, they are much more better than those people who call Monday blues and everything. That doesn't exist. And they are able to do their tasks within the stipulated time, some even ahead of time. This is work-life balance. work-life balance is not creating a homely environment in the office, but is able to allow people to realize that they're at home when they're at home, not to bring work in their mind at home. Because on Monday morning, if they do that, they get a lot of frustration that the weekend has passed and they actually don't have any clue or realization they actually spend time at home. Physically, they'll be there, but there's no endorsement in the mind. That frustrates them on a Monday morning. Do you think they'll be very productive? I doubt so.
You'll be looking forward to Friday again.
So the value of it is we finish the project on time, which is an impossibility for IT projects.
Tech
and we launched
the
business within 11 months, which is something that we built from scratch for the back end of the whole thing. And that's the value. And if we can do it with 100 people, three locations, I'm sure everybody can do. In fact...
And how did you do it? I mean, was it like everyone do it together on Friday or they do it by themselves because it's set from... The tone is set from the top by the leaders?
No, I do it with them.
Okay.
Everybody together at a certain point of the day.
Right.
Just set up. And the good thing is... We don't have a fixed time for it.
Oh, wow.
So that they don't mentally prepare just to go through a 15-minute session kind of thing. So they can be busy at work. Everybody stand up. Because the whole idea is learning how to detach. So if they are prepared to detach, they're not actually learning to detach.
That's true. It's already in their mind, right?
Yeah, but then the detachment is not real. Right.
And we see a lot more progressive companies doing that as well, using mindfulness to help employees adapt to changes or even manage changes. Do you know of any other Malaysian companies or international
companies? Yes. Google has launched their ever popular free course for employees, Search Inside Yourself.
Wow.
Designed to teach emotional intelligence through meditation or mindfulness. Nike helps employees to stay clear, focused and calm in their workplace. They have even in-office meditation and yoga classes for free. And in New York office, you'll find rooms dedicated to napping, praying and also meditation as well, right? Facebook, weekly in-house meditation sessions and no meeting Wednesdays. Company aims to create boost employee morales, right? Even in this company's local offices here itself, you can see their employee hangout places are very relaxed. And you can always take a break from office and sit down at the relaxed place and meditate for a few minutes and go back. It's like those days people say, I need to go for a smoke to clear my mind. Here, you just go and sit down in a corner to meditate, to clear your mind.
Right. And these are successful companies who are doing so well. And I'm sure this practice that they're doing also affects their bottom line, right?
Exactly. One of the things is it creates better collaboration between staff and bosses and staff. They have a very flat organizational chart because leadership is all about nurturing each other to grow together. And personal productivity of an individual, right, can increase up to 48%. So you imagine that your work at work about 20 days in a month, but your productivity has increased 48%. That's like almost having another half staff. For every three staff, you have one new staff. Headcount.
Just being effective. And,
Then your cost actually reduces. When your cost reduces and you have better productive staff, your bottom line is always going to be better.
But how can we start? Like for us who have never done it before, So how can we start some simple ways and how can we even bring it to our workplace?
It's very simple. I just have to introduce you to a tool that you can use for your mindfulness practice every day.
Okay.
And you can never tell me that you left the tool at home, so you can't practice it. The tool is your breathing.
Wow.
So you can't tell me that I left my breathing at home, right? So it is always with you.
Yeah.
So go find a corner. Whether it's at the corner of your bed before you leave the office to office, whether it's during your lunch break, sit down and breathe. And breathe and just bring your mind to the flow of breath that you take in and out. That's it. Just keep your mind focused on that. So go out for lunch 5 minutes later than your colleagues so that you have 5 minutes peaceful time. Or come back and come back 10 minutes before everybody else and sit down in a corner. And just close your eyes.
Okay.
So that's relaxing and cleaning your mind out of all the nonsense that you don't need.
That's all?
That's all.
Wow.
And you keep this every moment that you get.
Okay.
Of course, don't close your eyes while you're driving. You can do that, right? If you're traveling in public transport, you can do that, right? And this, even when you shower, let the water hit at the back of your head, in your face, away from the water. And you can just breathe in and out for just 2 minutes. As you get ready, before you leave your room, sit at the edge of bed for 2 minutes, right? Then when you travel to work, another 2 minutes. Before you go out for lunch, 2 minutes. After you come back from lunch, another 2 minutes. Before you start a meeting, try to allocate 5 minutes earlier to yourself, 2 minutes. After meeting, take a 2 minutes break, like that. So when you look at it throughout the whole day, you would have done about 20 minutes or 30 minutes of mindfulness practice without having to allocate 20 to 30 minutes of your life to that.
And you end up being more productive as well. So you kind of end up getting more time.
Yes. It is not supposed to be an extracurricular activity that you go out and do. It is supposed to be blended with work because the value with life, because the value it is to you and your life and a personal basis.
Interesting that you brought up breathing, because I think the other time I did breathing, those type of breathing experiences, was when I was in labor. you know how they always say, focus on your breathing, and you know it does help, because I felt that I had no painkillers, I did not take any of that.
Exactly.
And it helped me with my labor pains.
So that's a very good example. So imagine that pain is, when you're conscious of the pain, it becomes very painful, right? But when your mind is focused on something else other than the pain, that pain is manageable. So work stress is about the same thing. When your mind is much more comfortable and focused on something else, the stress becomes easier. You're able to manage it. It becomes manageable.
Yeah.
It's the same principle.
Right. And so the last question would be, how can we bring it to our workplace? If it's not being done yet, do we just like, hey, follow me, do what I do? Or what do you think?
Get a friend, start with a friend.
Okay.
Then get the friend to start with another friend, and show in your team that you are able to change and be an example to the whole organization. Then engage HR to say, this is a practice.
Right.
So
a culture as well, maybe.
Yes. Organization may not buy into it unless you can prove performance to it and value to it.
Yeah, so the benefits.
So it has to start. And if you need help, you could go to the website called happinesstolife.asia.
Okay.
And there is a midday meditation between 1 to 1:30 that
they can just tune in, right?
Tune in and sit and for 20 minutes and out of it.
Right.
So, and also one more at after 8 p.m. So there are about 10 to 15 sessions in a week that you can...
So someone is guiding you through it.
Yes.
Okay.
And we give you the weekends. We don't conduct anything on weekends.
So Dr. Shekhar, you're also an author among all the other things that you do. And last year you authored a book called Making Miracles for the Self. And how does that play into mindfulness?
Well, one of the things that we do is, in the book, is examples of real life stories of people who have come to me for counseling.
Right.
Of people who are stressed, depressed, and also are under a lot of pressure due to different aspects of their life, like relationship, work, and culture, and society, and everything. So what I've done is I've written that book based on real life experience and given the aspects, different aspects of mindfulness practices. And these people actually have changed their life and have become better person. So the book also has guiding points at the end of each chapter where people can actually take that guiding points to change their life. So those who read the book actually feel that I'm writing about them, because why is that so? Because a lot of people believe that mental stress and this trauma and anxiety is a thing that is very personal to them, and they dare not speak about it to anybody. So a lot of parents, a lot of society actually don't know that this is a problem with any... They may be laughing and everything, but they're not interacting with anybody. They keep it to themselves. The book is an avenue for them to read and say and understand that it's a common problem. There are other people with the same situation.
Yeah.
And the good thing is they have recovered from it.
Right.
Through mindfulness, not through medication, right? So it talks about relationship. One of the example about relationship is when you're with someone that you love so much, you actually can talk and it's pleasant. But the reality is not a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply in being together.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Many people in relationship actually don't talk. They mm-hmm. think, I've got nothing to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about talk. You just have to talk nonsense because you enjoy being with mm-hmm. each other. You don't judge what is being spoken about. You don't talk only to make decision.
Mm-hmm.
You actually talk so that you have that relationship
right.
bond strengthened.
Right, yeah, the connection.
And this is one of the biggest foundation of all problems in stress. People don't talk.
Right. Communication.
Yes.
Yeah. Even in the workplace, organizations, communication is always the main challenge across.
Yes. And the reason being is people are afraid to be judged.
Right. Yeah.
So what they do is they speak less because they are afraid.
Mm.
Meditation, mindfulness, what it does is you understand yourself better.
Mm.
You gain confidence about who you are and you're very open to speak about it without being worried or being judged.
Yeah.
That removes all your problems, anxiety and stress, and actually opens a whole new world in a different positive perspective.
You should totally do a topic like that next time.
Yes.
but maybe to just share, how can we get that book and, you know, where can we find it?
The book is available at MPH and also MPH online.
Right.
Or you also can contact our at the Happiness to life.asia website, also the book is available.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Any last thoughts, Dr. Shekhar?
Well, one of the most important things about life that you need to realize that this life is yours.
Mm.
So you need to understand who you are and what you want to become in your life.
Yeah.
Stop living the life to fulfill society's requirement of what you should
yes.
be. Because then you're not living for yourself.
Yeah.
Happiness starts with you
mm-hmm.
and you need to actually realize and enjoy the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Then it can be shared. Mm-hmm. The world will be happy with a happy person.
Yeah.
You cannot change the world to become happy.
But you can change yourself.
If you are not happy, you can't do that also.
Right.
So, but you can be happy.
Right.
So in the first step to changing yourself is not change. It's start being happy first.
Mm.
That's enough. Once you start being happy about who you are and accepting who you are, everything else you will see that it's an easy solution out.
This has been so good. I am actually excited to try it myself as well. So thank you so much for being us today.
Thank you very much.
It's been very enjoyable for me as well. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Dr. Shekhar, for being with us and really sharing your insights into how mindfulness can bring such positive change and productivity to the workplace. I've learned so much. Thanks again. And I'm Laura, signing off for this episode of HR Essentials.
You've been listening to Leadernomics FM, the science of building leaders.